Out in our foyer this morning, we have a couple of tables set up. One of them has the devotional books for Be the Message. The other one has sign-up sheets for our small groups. Following the service, my wife, Ginger, will be at the table with the books for you. And Stan will be at the table asking you to sign up for a group. Do you have to be in a group? No, but we wish you would. We think you get more from the challenge if you have a chance to share it with others. You see, I want each of you to enjoy God in a different way. To enjoy God in His fullness. To have an intimacy with Him that you know Him by name and you know Him and you know He knows you. And that comes when we join Him in His work. You see, as long as you and I are just spectators in God's work, it's never going to change us. Spectators, like in a sporting event, can get tired and walk away. But when you're engaged in the event, whether it's a sporting event where you're playing on the field and you feel like your life is almost on the line, or you're involved with an organization and you're part of your participant, it's like there's a different level of excitement. And if you feel today like you need more from God, if you feel like you need to see God in a dynamic way for the first time, I will encourage you and challenge you today to take this 30-day challenge. What have you got to lose? Why don't you walk with God for 30 days and see what happens on the other end? We're going today to talk about Moses. And the reason we're going to talk about Moses is because Moses was like so many of us. He was very comfortable in his life. At one time, he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. Then he got ousted, and for 40 years, he's just been a lowly shepherd. Life was very easy. Life was very comfortable for Moses. But here's what Moses did not know, and what you may not get. God had a plan for his life. And it was much more than being a shepherd. Because God had a people that were in Egypt. For 400 years, they had been enslaved. And some people might would ask, well, why did God allow that to happen? Because he was taking a family and making it into a nation. But the time had come as they cried out for God to deliver them. And here is God's dilemma. God has a people crying out for deliverance. God has a people who are hurting. God has a people who were longing for something to fill that void in their life. And God says, I want to meet their need. But I need someone that I can use that will be my message to them. We come to Christ because we have needs. We come to Christ to be forgiven, to be restored. And there we get strong so that God might send us and use us. And with that, I'm going to share a portion of Scripture. If you've got your Bibles, I don't have this on the slide. This is from the third chapter of Exodus. This is Moses' encounter with God. And try to remember, Moses is just like you. He's doing the job. He's very comfortable in the job. chapter 3, first verse. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he brought his flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord God appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush is not consumed. When the Lord God saw that he had got Moses' attention, he cries out, Moses, Moses. At least that's how I think he said it. And Moses said, I think, rather timidly, here I am, wondering who in the world is talking to him. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He'd heard the stories. And the Lord God said to him, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. They're crying out because of the slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now, did you catch that? God tells Moses, I have come to rescue them. So now, Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. God says to Moses, I've got a people who are hurting. Anybody know any hurting people around them? I've got a people who are broken and enslaved. We all know people who are broken and enslaved to everything under the sun. I'm concerned about them. I'm going to come and rescue them. God always works through people. God always works through a man or a woman who will stand up and say, God, I'm not much, but you can use me. So God says, Moses, I'm sending you back to Pharaoh. That's where we are in our life. The hurting people, they're not off in Egypt. They're probably some of your neighbors, some of your co-workers, and for some of you, it's a lot of your family. They're hurting. God wants to rescue them. But remember, God looks for a man or for a woman that he can send as his message. Isn't it wonderful that God needs you? That he needs you to accomplish his purpose. I've got 6 simple points, and the points actually follow the outline that you're going to find in your devotional when you start going through it. First point is this: we need to have a dynamic encounter with God. It tells us that Moses was deep in the wilderness of Sinai, the mountain of God. Now, we have seen on film the encounter of Moses at the burning bush. That this transformed his life. We need, you need, to have a dynamic encounter with God. It's not just about, well, I'm a Christian. I'll go to church. I'll read my Bible some. No, it's about having a dynamic relationship with the living God. As long as we're just going through the motions, you're going to have a hard time staying focused on God. But when you've surrendered to Him, when God has encountered you and you with Him and you're having this relationship, great things begin to happen in your spirit. Are you content with a life of mediocrity with God? In your marriage, do you want things to just be so-so? Don't you want it to be dynamic and filled with passion and love? That's where we need to be with the Lord. And it's not going to happen until we have a dynamic encounter with God. You see, Moses had grown comfortable as a shepherd. God doesn't want us comfortable. Moses was created for more. He had no idea why he was raised in the courts of Pharaoh, only to find himself defending an Israelite and killing the Egyptian and being kicked out of Egypt. He had no idea what was going on. God was preparing Moses for a greater work. See, while he was in Egypt, Moses learned about the courts in Egypt and Pharaoh. He knew the inner workings. But when he became a shepherd, he learned humility. So now God has a man who has the right knowledge and experiences. And now he has the right heart. Have you ever wondered why God allows some of the things in your life? Why God permits suffering in your life? He's doing something that He can use you, that He can speak through you. I know for Ginger and I, one of the most convicting times happened to us about 26 and a half years ago. We were pastoring in Mobile, Alabama, very happy in a church there. Our kids had grown up in the church. They had friends in the church. And we got the call to consider coming out here to Dallas, Texas, to Wesleyan Bible Church. Both of us said, nah, we're not interested. But it was not till a couple of days afterwards that Ginger could articulate why. And it was because we were very comfortable where we were. God never calls us to comfort. He calls us on the front to challenge us to be used of Him. God has created you and created me for so much more. Second, here, very simple. We need to hear God's message. When the Lord God saw that He had caught Moses' attention, God called him from the burning bush. This was how God spoke to the patriarchs of old. They did not have a Bible that they could thumb through. If it had been written, it would have been large scrolls they would have had to have carried around. God spoke through this thundering, powerful voice that would get anyone's attention. So God calls out to him, Moses, Moses, I would have dead stopped, wouldn't you? As Moses approached the burning bush with awe, you and I should open the pages of the Word of God with that same awe. Moses is wondering, well, what's he fixing to tell me next? And when we open the pages of His Word, we should be asking, what's God fixing to tell me next? What's He going to reveal to me? What's He going to challenge me with? We've got to hear God's message. Now, for Moses, to do it, the Bible says he had to turn aside. He was shepherding over here. He had his sheep over here, and the Bible says sheep don't graze on a mountain because there's not much grass on the mountain. So the sheep are down here in the valley grazing. But yet, he can see there's a fire up there. There's a bush on fire, and it's not consumed. Now, he had not had physical science in school, but he knew that was impossible. Fuel is consumed by heat if it's going to keep burning. So the Bible says he turned away from the sheep, and he went to see what was happening. If he had stayed with the sheep, he would never have heard from God. And the Word told us, when God saw that he had gotten Moses' attention, he calls him, and then he says, take off your shoes, your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. If you want to hear from God, you've got to do something different than what you've been doing. Every day you get up, you hurry up, you get cleaned up, you grab your coffee, you jump in your car and you go. You come home, you turn on the television, or you do your chores or your exercise. There's got to be a point of you turning away from your activities and saying, God, now I'm going to spend this time with you. I need to hear from you, Lord. As Moses turned and went toward the burning bush, God could now address him and speak to him. God could now begin to work in his life. I know that many of you study the Bible. I know that you hurriedly, maybe, and I've had quite a few of you tell me, and I understand, I pray while I'm driving. Well, you might pray while you're driving, but you're not going to hear a message from God while you're driving. It's not going to happen. God speaks in the stillness of the night, and I'll talk to you in a moment about that quiet whisper. If something is important, you make time for it, don't you? If God is important in hearing from God, then all I'm saying is turn aside and hear God's message. Sit down with the devotional book that you're going to get. Look at the scripture and allow God to speak to you. You see, if we keep on doing our spiritual life and our walk with God like we've been doing it, we're going to keep on getting what we've been getting. But if you want something to, I mean, a dynamic encounter with God. Like, God, without you, I'm not going to be able to make it through the day. It's going to have to begin with you turning aside from your busy schedule like Moses left the sheep and walking up to the burning bush. Remember, God speaks to us through His Word. Number three, we must listen with open minds. Do not come any closer, Moses. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. If you had asked Moses, if you had asked him as he walked away from his sheep and started walking up, Moses, where are you going? Well, I'm just going up on the mountain. Is there anything different about that mountain? It's just dirt and rock. That's the way Moses is thinking. And then God says to him, Moses, this is not what you think it is. This is holy ground. Take your sandals off. We need to understand that God might have to take us somewhere in our walk with Him that we're not certain of, that maybe that we're not the most comfortable with. We can't enter. our devotional times and quiet times and Bible study already predetermine what God's going to say and God's going to do. You've got to allow Him to direct you and allow God to just speak to your heart. Second passage here. Okay. He says, "Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and you will lead my people Israel out of Egypt." Do you think Moses was planning this? No. God had something else in mind the whole time He called him. I don't know what God has in mind for you, except that He wants to be closer to you. And He wants you to work with Him. Because He has a people who are hurting, and He needs to send someone to be the message to them. We can't seek God with our mind made up, where either fear or apathy has kept us. He is the one that speaks. He is the one that has a plan for the part of our life. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe how you've been walking with God is not the way He wants you to walk with Him? I don't know. Get with Him. Find out. If you're not having influence on the lives of others, if you're not someone that other people are looking to as someone that helps them and guides them, somehow we've missed that mark. God had His hand on this man, Moses. God wanted to do something for a hurting people, but God needed Moses to surrender. He needs for us to be submissive. He needs for us to be open. When I graduated high school, I went to college with the intentions of going into the construction business. I have, and most of you here know it, I have a bachelor's in a field called industrial technology. If you had asked me then what would I have thought about the idea of being a pastor or a preacher, I would have laughed at you. Because it was nowhere on my radar. But here's a neat thing you'll find. What you think is not what God thinks. What you plan is not what God plans. I was a senior. I mean, I'm about to graduate. And a friend of mine, he could tell, I seemed somewhat somber at the time, or maybe the word would be reflective. And I remember Gary said to me, he said, is everything okay? You just seem a little bit deep in thought lately. And I said, well, just thinking about the future and what I'm going to do, you know, getting kind of on down toward graduation time. And my father had told me I'm going to have a job, so, you know, I couldn't play with that thing. And he asked me a question. He said, have you ever considered that maybe God's calling you to do something? And when he said that, my first reaction was kind of, no, not it, not going there. But from that day forward, I began to think, maybe I'm wrong about what my life's plan is supposed to be. Maybe I'm supposed to do something different. I'll explain it to you. Number four, we must listen for the divine whisper. Are you familiar with the divine whisper? God put the Holy Spirit in you and me, the comforter, the counselor, that God might speak to us. Jesus said, I will ask the Father to send you another counselor. who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Now let me share a passage here from the book of 1 Kings. This is about the prophet Elijah. Elijah is very frustrated because he feels like he's having to work all by himself, that nobody else is helping him serve God. God wants to encourage him. Beginning in verse 10 of 19th chapter, Elijah says, "I have been very zealous for you, O Lord God. But Israel has rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed the prophets, and I am the only one that is left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And listen to what God told him. "Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord God, and the Lord will pass by." And as Elijah gets to the mountaintop, God's going to pass by. Here's what he says. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before Elijah. But the Lord God was not in the wind. Then came an earthquake that shook the ground, but the Lord God was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire came and devoured the land. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of a cave on the mountain where he was fixing to enter and have a retreat." If you want to hear from God, God is not going to compete with everything else going on around you. He will not do it. God's not going to speak to you when you've got your earbuds on and you're jamming with some music. He's not going to speak to you. He's not going to speak to you when you're sitting in front of the television and you're up in the volume because the kids are too loud. You're not going to hear from God. It would take a thunder or an earthquake to get your attention then. You're not going to hear from God when you're working out in the gym. You're going to hear from God when you're somewhere alone and you can hear a gentle whisper. Because the Holy Spirit, as I've heard him defined, is a gentleman. He will not raise his voice. He will not scream at you. He will wait till you turn to him, and then he will address you. We are so busy in our life that we make it almost impossible for God to speak to us. Within our noisy culture, and you know it is a noisy culture, we will intentionally, with purpose, with schedule, have to get away from it and hear from God. We cannot hear from the busyness of our day, and Moses could not hear from the busyness of what he was doing with the sheep. God had to get him away where there was nobody else that he could listen. When I had been pastoring a very brief while within my first year of pastoring, probably the first couple months of pastoring, I was very, God helped me by having a couple of other really great men of God as counselors and mentors around me. And I had no idea how to prepare a sermon. I had not been at that point to Bible school. The only thing I'd ever prepared, like a sermon, was a speech for speech class or a term paper. And I remember I asked Brother John Ragsdale, some of you who have been Congregational Methodists might recognize the name. I said, Brother John, how do you prepare a sermon? How do you know what to preach on? And he said, well, here's how I do it. He said, I get along with God. And I spend some time singing, reading scriptures, praying. He said, and then I sit down with a pad and pencil. And I wait until I hear that whisper from God. He said, it's hard to describe it until you're there, but it's like God takes your mind and he's speaking to you through that gentle whisper. And he said, I'll just start writing down what I feel like God is directing me to say. The gentle whisper of God is what's going to comfort you through your trials. It is the gentle whisper of God that you're going to hear that he's going to direct your life. But again, if you want to hear the gentle whisper, you're going to have to lean in close. Turn some things off in the background. And spend some time with the Lord. Because you know what? He wants you to lean in close. He wants to be close to you. And that gentle whisper, it's where God is going to give you direction. If you're seeking a direction in your life, now I don't know if God's going to give you a whisper about what car to buy. I think he'd probably tell you, buy what you can afford. That's what I think God will say if you're looking for a car. But if you're concerned about a decision in your life, if you're concerned about what you should do to change some things in your marriage or your family, I think you can go before God and wait for the gentle whisper to hear from him. Number five here, we can experience God's transforming power. Moses was fearful. He was being asked to go back to Egypt where they had kicked him out. He was asked to go back and speak, and apparently he had some kind of a speech problem. He felt like he couldn't do it. And do you remember what God said to him? And then the Lord says, Moses, what's in your hand? That is one of the most powerful scriptures in the entire Bible, because it says, as long as we will allow God to use what we have, God can do miraculous things. Moses didn't think he had any gifts or abilities that would allow him to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. God understood that. God wanted his power to be on display. And so he says, Moses, what's in your hand? It's just a shepherd's staff, Lord. Remember what he told him? Throw it on the ground, Moses. Let me show you what you can do with this stick you got. You remember the story? It became a poisonous serpent. Moses, like the rest of us, jumped back. Why is this the man that steps away from a poisonous serpent? And then God says, Moses, pick it up. Moses picked it up, and it became a staff again. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a staff. Anybody here got a staff that you can throw down? No. But let me tell you this. You have something Moses did not have. Moses had to depend on a stick. Jesus says this to us. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Moses had the power without in his hand. Jesus commanded his disciples, don't go yet preaching until the power is within. We might one day in heaven, after the lines have thinned down and we have a chance to maybe talk with Moses himself, and maybe we can ask of Moses, how did it feel to know that you had God's power in your hand? And Moses might look and say, how did it feel to know God's power was within you? How did that feel? God's transforming power is within us. And you may think, well, why don't I feel it? What are you doing that you need it? Why did Jesus say he's sending the Holy Spirit that you shall be my witnesses? If you're not doing anything for God that requires extra strength, you don't need the Holy Spirit. He's there to empower us to be his message. Some people believe the Holy Spirit comes to make us feel good. No. The Holy Spirit comes to give us power. Some people think the Holy Spirit comes that we might can do something that makes people stare at us or look at us or be amazed by us. No. The Holy Spirit comes that he might do amazing things through you in the lives of others. The Holy Spirit came to empower you and me to be the message to a lost and dying world. We are the message. Paul said, Paul at one point preaching about the power of the gospel. And you do understand the gospel of Christ liberates people. It sets people free. It enables them to cast off the shackles of bondage. It enables them to overcome addictions. That is the gospel. It is the good news. And Paul at one point said, but how shall they hear without a preacher? Or as some translations put it, how shall they hear unless someone tells them? Us, the message. I believe God brings people across our path that we can minister to them and reach out to them and share the message with them. I believe in what I would call divine appointments, people that God brings across your path because they need to hear the message. Now, I don't want to scare you. God, I do not believe that God's going to take us outside of where he has gifted us. But God will stretch you. God had gifted Moses. Moses did not know it. Moses had no idea why he was trained in the courts of Pharaoh and learned the language of the Egyptians. He had no idea. But God had to stretch him. I don't know how God will stretch you, but he will stretch you. And it's when he stretches you that you'll find yourself drawing closer to him because you need his power. If you can live your life day by day with God, without calling upon him for help, you're not stretching yourself and you're not allowing God to use you. Sixth point, finally, we'll wrap this things up. We can be God's message. God has asked Moses to go to Egypt. Chapter 4, verse 20. So Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and headed back to Egypt. And I love the final part of this scripture. And in his hand, he carried the staff of God. You see, God is not so much looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Paul explains it to us. God chooses to use the weak. Do you consider yourself weak? God chooses to use the unimportant. Do you consider yourself unimportant? So far, you're exactly what God's looking for. Through whom he can do great things. And then you know who gets the glory for it? God does. Not me or you. Moses, he said, God, I'll go back. But I'm going to have this staff with me because I'm not going alone. I'm not going to face what's going to be ahead of me without you. We, like Moses, need to give God a chance. You see, at this point, Moses has no idea what's going to happen when he gets there. He's heard from God. He said, God, I'll go. Let's see what goes on. The Lord God says to him, I've heard their cries. I've come to rescue you from the Egyptians. Lead them into their own good and spacious land. Now go, for I'm sending you. Being the message isn't about you. Although you will get so much if you allow God to use you. It is about the ones that God needs for you to be the message to your children to begin with, to your grandchildren, to your extended family, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your co-workers, that they might see Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to paraphrase what I just read for you. I have heard the cries of your neighbors and friends. I have seen them in their desperations as they call out at night and wonder what they should do. I have a wonderful life planned for them in a good and spacious and prosperous land. Now go, for I am sending you to them. So all God asks of us is to go. And I'm asking this of you today. For the next 30 days, will you take a challenge? Out in the foyer, we've got some devotional books that you take a book, start tonight, or if you want to start tomorrow, depending on your schedule, open the first page and begin. Now, this is not going to be a traditional devotional. It's not going to say, here's the passage, read the scripture, here's the thought. It's going to tell you to stop and slow down. It's going to tell you to listen to God. It's going to tell you to hear from God. 30 days, it can't hurt you, but it might transform your life. Why don't you give God a chance to make a difference in your life? We've got the paper books out there, the hardbacks. We've got, you can get it on ebook. And then we've got 5 small groups that we're signing up for. You can go up there, sign up for a small group. And if you've never been to a small group, What do? We just gather in someone's home. First thing we always do is eat. Everybody enjoys eating, don't you? Are you okay with eating? We eat. We're going to watch about a 10-minute video clip and talk about it. That's it. Not going to put you on the spot, not going to embarrass you, but we know this is how God works. And I want to see you excited about your walk with God. And I know what comes when you allow God to work through you to impact the lives of others. Let's pray. Father God, allow us to hear from you these next several weeks. And allow each of us, Father, this here, to have a closer encounter with you. Father, some of us have some things in our life that have to be dealt with. Pray that you would speak to us. We have obstacles in our life, and Lord God, we pray that you would help us overcome them. And Father, help us to see clearly that you need our help. That Christ came and died, but now we bear the message. And we need to be that message. Father, I pray that you would strengthen that one that is fearful. Help that one who's not certain that they should try this, their fear. Father, give them courage. Help them to see what can it hurt. Father, I pray you would have your way in each heart here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.